Parshas Miketz falls in Hanukkah very often, not every year. Alright, so I'd like to learn together a short series of psukim, not directly related to Hanukkah, but I think at the end we can certainly tie it in. It's going to be a loose tie-in, it's not directly related, but it's a lot to be learned, and it'll hopefully light up our day anyway. Okay, so Parshas Miketz finds us. Yosef is down in Mitzrayim. He begins, the parsha of course begins where he spends the extra 2 years in jail. He's eventually let out. He interprets Pharaoh's dream. He's made into the second in command. Famine breaks out in the land of Egypt as well as the world at large. And the brothers of course come down to get some food for their family like everybody else. Yosef meets up with them. He recognizes them in order, as the Ramban understands, to fulfill the dream in which he has all of his brothers bowing down to him. So he keeps Shimon captive. This is not the part that I want to go through. I'm setting the context. I'm just running through this. I'm sure we're familiar with the story. Yosef keeps Shimon captive and sends the rest of the brothers back with their money in their sacks, together with all of their food, back to Canaan. Yosef expecting, therefore, by holding Shimon hostage, eventually he will be able to get Binyamin down, and then all the brothers will bow down to him. It will be a fulfillment of his dream, which he understood to be a prophecy, and everything will be in place. So the part of the story that I'd like to study with you this morning, this afternoon, is the brothers' dialogue with Yaakov, when they tell him, we need to go back down to Mitzrayim. We need to go. We're running out of food. We're short on supply back home. We have to go back. And Yaakov wants to send them back. And the brothers respond and say, we told you already, we can't go back unless we take Binyamin with us. Shimon's already been held captive. Who knows how long this has been? The Torah doesn't say exactly how long Shimon has now been held captive in Mitzrayim. But Yaakov is ready to send the rest of the brothers down for more food, and they in effect say to him, you know, we can't do this unless we take Binyamin with us. And Yaakov, of course, does not want to send Binyamin, and Yehuda stands up, basically, and puts his life, his Olam Haba, on the line, and says, I will be, so to speak, the co-signer. I will personally guarantee his safety, but we must take him down with us. We must be able to get food. And to that, Yaakov agrees. To the fact that Yehuda is going to take responsibility for the baby of the family, for Binyamin, on the way down to Mitzrayim and on the way back up, Yaakov is ready to send the brothers. So let's learn the few psukim following Yaakov's decision, his agreeing to Yehuda's offer, and how he sends them off. So it's on page 240. It's fairly deep into the parsha already. Start with Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. If you'll just quickly scan over the paragraph before that, you'll see that's what we've gotten up to, in which Yehuda basically personally guarantees him, basically saying, listen, if we wouldn't have spent so much time already, we could have been back and forth twice already, but we've been sitting here waiting for you to give us permission to take Binyamin down. And Yaakov finally agrees. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Ayomer Aleihem Yisrael Avihem. So Yisrael, their father, Yaakov, says to the brothers, Im Kein Efo, if this must be done so, if it must be that I have to agree to send Binyamin down, Zos Asu, then this is what you have to do. So he doesn't just say, go ahead, take him. He has a plan, Yaakov. What's his plan? Chu mizimras ha'oretz b'chleichem. Take from the land's glory, Artscroll translates it as. Now, that's not a literal translation. How would you translate literally zimras ha'oretz?
Songs.
Correct. The song of the land. So they're translating it as glory of the land because, as the commentators point out, these items that he's going to send were of such value that when the land would produce them, it would cause almost like joy and praise of the members of the inhabitants of the land that we had such special products. So Yaakov says, send from the Zimras Ha'aretz, send from the glory of the land, I guess is a nice translation, trying to capture that idea of these special, unique aspects of Eretz Yisrael, which is, of course, where they were living at the time. Send them down with you to Mitzrayim. V'horidu lo'ish mincha, and you will bring down to the Ish. Who's the Ish? So of course Yosef doesn't know that. It's the second in command whom he's referring to. You will send to him a gift, an offering of presents. Me'ot tzari u'ma'at devash, nechois valot, botnim u'shkedim. All these different tributes. What do you have? These bitter balsam and honey and wax, lotus, pistachios, almonds. Apparently they were clearly, as Yaakov described them, Zimrat Sa'aret, this was the glory of the land, send an offering of these special entities. What's the point of these things?
To win favor.
Right? Obviously it's to win favor. One of the Mefarshim points out, and just even if you were to get angry at you again, you'll be able to try to sway him with what you've brought. Come loaded with goods. And apparently not just any goods. These are the best of what the land has to offer. And Yaakov says to his sons, this is what I want you to bring with you. Pasuk Yud Beis. V'kesef mishne k'ubi etchem. Take double the amount of the money that you took last time. V'es ha-kesef ha-mushav b'fi amtzichoseichem. And also the money that he returned. So he sends him back with not only the money which they had went the first time, which they had used to pay off for the food, and remember, of course, Yosef sent that back with them. So he says, send that back again, and take double what you took last time. Why should they take double the amount of what they took last time? So Rashi comments, Shema, maybe the prices have gone up.
We know about that.
Right, we know all about that. You're thinking it was going to be something more esoteric. Rashi says, very practical. What was Yosef, or Yaakov, I should say, was simply, I'm sorry, I misquoted, that was not... Yeah, no, that is Rashi, right. Rashi quoted from Chazal that's simply one. Maybe the price went up. So he wants him to be totally prepared. I want you to be short. When you get there, the last thing that I want you to say is, oh, I didn't know. I was still basing myself on the previous. No, I want you to have double the amount of money so that you're ready to buy whatever you need to buy now. Plus, you're going to have all of the money that you had taken with you last time. Why the pasuk concludes ulai mishgehu? Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe somehow there was a mix-up in your bag that on the way back you all ended up with your money. So maybe that was a mistake. So I want you to take that back to be able to say to him, look, we are honest people. This was a mistake. We tried to buy this from you. We got the money back. Here's that. I now have double the money to pay for what I need. Plus, I have all of my gifts. Just in case anything goes wrong, I'm going to be able to win his favor by bringing him the Zimras HaAretz, the pride and glory of the land. Pasuk Yud Gimel 13, Ves Achichem Kochu, take your brother, obviously referring to Binyamin, Vikumu Shuvu El Ha'ish, arise, and return to the Ish. Again, the Ish is, of course, Yosef is the Ish. Yosef is the man who is in charge right now of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov then sends them with all of their goods, taking Binyamin as well, and go down to Yosef. One last pasuk, and as we go through this pasuk, I want you to come up with all of the questions that we have on this pasuk. Let's read it through. Yud Dalet, pasuk 14, Vikel Shakai, name of Hashem. Yitein lochem rachamim, may he grant you, may Hashem grant you mercy, lifnei ho'ish. Again, ho'ish is a reference to
Yosef.
May Hashem, Yaakov says, grant you mercy before the man, who is the, he doesn't know it's Yosef, but the second in command.
Right,
the viceroy. V'shilach lochem asachichem acher v'es binyamin. And that may he, literally, shilach lochem would mean send to you, but our scroll here translates it correctly based on Rashi, like I'm telling you what's correctly. Our scroll here translates it based on Rashi, that it doesn't mean to send, but it means to release to you, because Shimon was already there. So he'll release, let's just translate it literally for a moment, and he will release to you your other brother, as well as Binyamin, who is coming back, meaning your other brother is already there, and he should release to you your other brother, plus Binyamin, who is now going, and he should release him, because we know that Yosef clearly has a propensity for keeping brothers there. So he davens that Hashem should grant the man mercy, or the brother's mercy in his eyes, that he should release the brothers, the other brother and Binyamin, back to you. Va'ani, and as for me, Asher shacholti shacholti, as I have been bereaved, so I am bereaved. Okay, let's work through this last pasuk. Let's focus on this last pasuk. I think there are four questions we can ask on this pasuk. When I say questions, I don't mean like rocket scientists kind of. Just what points in this pasuk would need further clarification? What phrases, what ideas, what concepts in this pasuk, this verse Yud Dalet, pasuk 14, would we want further clarification on?
It strikes me as strange to keep referring to him as the man, meaning. Why doesn't he have a better title, like whether say the viceroy of Egypt or the? It's almost like Yaakov. My interpretation was that Yaakov knows somehow the truth that he's not a paro, therefore doesn't refer to him as paro.
Okay, well, you just said two things. A, you posed a question, mm-hmm. and then you gave a suggestion. Let's just leave it at the question for now. Yeah, because we will get back to that. Yaakov consistently, and this pasuk as well, refers to. Who he's referring to as Yosef as Ha'ish, which is really open for interpretation. In context, who does it clearly mean, Yosef? But he does use the word Ha'ish, and we will get back to that. That's not even one of the four, but that's an excellent point. What other things in this puzzle could require some call?
Achichem Acher, the name El Shaddai.
Excellent. Both of you are right. Let's take one at a time. Achichem Acher. How does Yaakov refer to Shimon?
Your other brother.
Isn't that odd? What would have been more appropriate for him to say?
Shimon. My child.
Right, my child. This is my Shimon. Who knows how long he's been in captivity at this point, right? The Torah doesn't tell us exactly how long it's been since their first journey. It's clearly been long enough, as Yehuda himself says, if you wouldn't have held us up, we could have gone there and back twice. Right? That's what Yehuda says. Abba, let me take Binyamin. If you wouldn't have held us up for so long, we could have gotten there and back twice. Right? So it's been a period of time already that Shimon's been there. So how does Yaakov refer to him when he davens that he should be released? Achichem Acher, your other brother, and Binyamin. So question number one, a fair question, is why does Yaakov refer to Shimon in that vague kind of term as your other brother, as opposed to referring to him by name? Excellent. Question number two, that Dina said, is the specific name of Hashem that Yaakov chooses for this prayer. Vekel Shakai. El, the first word, is a name of God. Shaddai, that name literally means is a phrase which has to do with the word enough. Dai means enough. Who has enough or is enough. We'll see, Rashi will give a couple of different approaches exactly how to understand this name. But this is a specific name of Hashem, so we would have to understand what is it about this attribute, this name of Hashem, that Yaakov would therefore daven using that name of Hashem specifically in this tefillah. What else? Excellent. Right. The last obvious one is the final phrase. What in the world does that last phrase mean? So, I mean, the first half seems to make sense. He's giving a tefillah that the brother should find mercy in the eyes of the Ish, that he should release both Shimon and Binyamin. I would almost say like this. If you wanted to rewrite this pasuk in straightforward English, one simple phrase, what is Yaakov davening for?
Come back safe with my two children.
Right? Excellent. I want my two children to come home safely. I want Shimon, who's there now, to return safely. And I want my Binyamin, who I love dearly, the last remaining child of my beloved wife Rachel, I want him, who is now being sent, also to return safely. That is a straightforward, just, you know, leaving out all of this poetic, flowery language. All he's doing is he's davening, may Hashem bring you both back safely. It's always a great tool in any time you're studying something, just to try to just break it down, what's really being said. So that's what Yaakov is saying. And then he adds this phrase at the end, and as for me, as I have been bereaved, kasher, shocholti, shocholti. As I've been bereaved, I've been bereaved. Obvious question, what does that mean? What's that a reference to? As I've been bereaved, I am bereaved. I don't even know how to phrase that question. So I don't know, what does that mean? What's he referring to when he says such a phrase, as I am bereaved, I am bereaved? Okay. So what do we have? We have four things so far on the table. Why he uses the word ha'ish, not just in this one pasuk, but repetitively, Yaakov refers to the viceroy as the man, which is an open, vague term. We have the question of why he refers to Shimon as Achicham Acher, the other brother. We have the issue of why does he use this specific name of Hashem, Kel Shaddai, why that name of Hashem specifically in this prayer, which is a prayer for the safe return of the brothers. And lastly, what in the world does Yaakov mean when he concludes this prayer, which doesn't seem to be part of the prayer anymore? That just seems to be a statement outside of the prayer. If you have to, in our straightforward rendition of the prayer, where does his tefillah end? It wouldn't seem to end at the end of the pasuk. It would seem like, where does his actual tefillah end? Right? I think I would put it after the word Binyamin, at the end of the page, right? My tefillah is, may Hashem grant you mercy in the eyes of the man, and he should return Shimon and Binyamin to you. And then he sort of comments at the end of this 4 or 5 verse speech, I've agreed to let you go. This is what I want you to do. Take the goods, take the money. I daven for your safety. And then he seems to state about himself, but as for me, as I've been bereaved, I am bereaved. Question mark, what exactly is he referring to? What does he mean with that?
Bereaved over Yosef.
Okay, I think that's a great, right? Obvious, I think that would be a perfect starting point. Clearly this is a reference to...
It's like whatever will happen, will happen.
I've been bereaved from Yosef, so I send you off with the goods, I send you off with the money, I send you off with the tefillah, and as I'm bereaved from Yosef, I am bereaved. Good, well that's clearly going to be along the lines of what we're going to understand without question. Yeah?
One other question that occurred to me, even though it appears a little bit earlier, why is Yaakov referred to as Yisrael here and not...
Okay, that's going to be beyond the scope of what I want to do today, but also within this little response, it's an excellent point, the Torah clearly wants to refer to Yaakov when he agrees, and he says to Yehuda, okay, I'm ascending him, it's specifically with the word Yisrael. I guess what we would have to check out would be, within this whole discussion, which began a little bit earlier also, which word was used?
Yisrael was used
previously. Okay, I see in Potsuk Lamed Vav in 36 in the previous page, there we do use the word, the name Yaakov. So clearly, not going to be so simple. Excellent, okay. A fair question that's going to be beyond what I'm going to do with today, but also an excellent comment as far as what's going on in here.
It seems to me that from the beginning, from the Pasuk Yud Aleph through this last comment, it's a summation of Yaakov's life. And it starts out with the gift giving, which is what he did when he was getting ready to meet Esav, and it's a sort of echo of that. And all of the things that have happened to him, somehow this last phrase sums up the tragedy of his life.
Okay, excellent. Rashi will touch on that in a different context, but very similar to what you're saying. Okay, enough questions on the table so far? Ready to start to see what we do. So let's learn Rashi and Ramban. Rashi and Ramban are going to address all of these. I would throw out one more question on the table. So I'm throwing tables at you. You guys are in trouble. Would be a more general question as to just what are we supposed to take from the concept of this tefillah, this prayer as it is here? Where does it fit in the scheme of things? Where this like he sends them with the goods, he sends them with the money, and then he offers up this prayer, just a general understanding of where this prayer fits in the context of all that's going on. That's not a specific question on the text in front of us, but just more of a global question, trying to taking out of the fact that Yaakov felt it necessary here to offer up this particular prayer. What do we derive? What are we supposed to learn from that as far as a more just of a global perspective of how we approach life and the world as a whole? We will get to that as well. Okay. Let's go. Let's start with Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yudalit, if you want to follow it inside, it's in the second column of Rashi, page 240, right smack in the middle of the column, halfway down the lines. So Rashi is going to address this last point that I just said first. Why does Yaakov offer up a tefillah here? Why does he spend he's been won over by the brothers, by Yehuda specifically, to send Binyamin, and he tells him to take all of these things, and he offers up a tefillah. Rashi says, Me'ata einchem chaserim klum el tefillah. At this point, says Yaakov, the only thing you're lacking is tefillah. You have everything else. I've given you bribery. I've given you the goods to win him over, the Zimra Sa'aretz, the pride and glory of the land. I have sent with you down in case he gets angry at you. You need to win his favor. You have that. You have the money from last trip. You have double the money for this trip. You have everything you need. The only thing you're lacking is tefillah. Hareini mispalo aleichem. Therefore, I will daven for you. We'll get back to this point in Rirat Hashem at the end. Rashi says, that's why this tefillah is here. You have everything else. Everything else is in order. The only thing that you're lacking is tefillah. Okay, next Rashi is going to address Dina's comment. Vikel Shaddai, why does Yaakov use this specific name of Hashem? What's the meaning of this trait, this attribute of Hashem, the word, the name, Kel Shaddai? So as I mentioned, the word Dai in Hebrew means enough. So Rashi is going to give us two interpretations of what this attribute of Hashem is a reference to. First thing that Rashi says is, Shaddai b'nesinas rachamav, ukedai hayecholas biyodo litein. It is enough in Hashem, b'nesinas rachamav, it is enough in His ability to give His mercy upon the man. Meaning, He has the ability to do it. This name of Hashem, of Kel, which is the name of God, Kel means like powerful, strong, Shaddai, who has enough, that He has enough to give rachamim, to give mercy in the eyes of Yosef, and has the ability to do it. So it's a name which refers to ability, that He has the ability, the wherewithal, to give the mercy in the eyes of Yosef. Therefore, Yitein Lachem Rachamim. Why does He use this name of Hashem? Because He's using the name to say, you who have the ability to give mercy in the eyes of Yosef, that the brothers should be treated well, you shall give them. You can, you have the ability, it's sufficient within your power to do so, and I therefore daven to you that you should do so. Now Rashi says, Zepshuta. That's the simple meaning of why he would use that name. It's a reference not of the attribute of justice. It's not davening to the attribute of mercy. It's speaking to the attribute of the ability and the wherewithal to do so. Shaddai v'nesinos rachamim. That he's capable and able to give his mercy to Yosef. Medrashah, Rashi then offers a midrashic explanation. Misha Omar li oilom dai. Chazal elsewhere you say that this name of the attribute of Hashem has to do with the ability to it is the attribute of justice to put limits. Who said to the world enough? The one who said to the world enough. That's the one to whom I'm speaking to. What does it mean that Hashem said to the world enough? So. This is going to be a little bit above my head, but the little bit that I understand about that, the world, the finite world that Hashem created, even though He is an infinite essence, an infinite entity, which has no boundaries or limitations, there's no such thing of ever having ein chila ve'ein sof, there's no beginning, there's no end to an infinite essence of Hashem, the world that He created is not that way. It's a finite world. There's beginning points and ending points of the physical world in which we live. When you created a physical entity out of a spiritual infinite essence, you have to then create boundaries and say, up to here. The ocean is going to go here and stop so that it doesn't flood the world. The dry land is going to be here and stop, and there's going to be earth, there's going to be heaven, there's going to be a system which we take for granted because we live in it, we grow up in it, we're around it, but that is a trait of an infinite God creating a finite world, Sha'omar la'olam dai, who said to His world, enough, and put spaces, limitations, and rules in the physical world, but has an ability to cut off things and say, up to here, but no more. This is how the world is going to be. Says Rashi, Yaakov, who said, says to this attribute of Hashem, to the one who said to his world, die, enough, stop, right there, cut it off, Yoimar die with Tzaroisi. He should say, enough, stop, for my problems, for my Tzaros. Shalosh akatati minu'urai. From my days of my youth, I have not had a moment of peace and tranquility. Tsaras Lavan. I had the tsara when I went to the house of Lavan, my uncle, and all that I had to deal with in terms of getting my four wives, Rachel and then Leah, and the two shifchas, the 20 years that I worked there, which Yaakov said a couple parshas ago, I didn't sleep at night, I had to work during the day, it was just one thing after another. Tsaras Esau. Then I had to deal with my brother Esau. Tsaras Rachel. I had to deal with the tsaras of Rachel. Tsaras Dina, who was abducted by Shechem, and then he had to go to a battle. The two brothers wiped out the whole city, and Yaakov was concerned that all the neighbors were going to attack him. Tsaras Yosef, now I lost my son Yosef, who I think has been killed. Tsaras Shimon, my son Shimon is now sitting in jail. Tsaras Binyamin, and now I have to send my Binyamin. So says the Medrash, you know why Yaakov is davening to this particular attribute, this name of Hashem, as he begins it again, in our straightforward, simple rendition of this tefillah, what's he really davening for? The safe return of Shimon and Binyamin. Which attribute does Yaakov direct his tefillah to which name of Hashem? Kel Shaddai. Says the Medrash, the one, the God who said to his world, enough, who has that tribute of saying, here but no more, up to there, stop right there, to that attribute, to that name of Hashem, I daven and say, enough with the tzaras. Enough with my problems, enough my whole life, since my youth it's been one thing after another, and now as I daven again, what's my simple words really are just, bring my boys home safely. May the one who said enough to his world, who created a finite world out of an infinite essence, may he say enough to my tzaros and bring back my boys safely. Okay, so far so good. Let's move on. Okay, next question we had in the context of the verse was the reference to Shimon. So again, back in our verse, Yud Dalet, V'kel Shaddai Yitein Lechem Rachem Lefnei Ayish. So he prays, he davens, since that's all that they were lacking is tefillah, so he davens specifically to the attribute of Kel Shaddai, who shall give you rachem, who shall give you mercy before the man that he shall release, who? Es Achichem Acher, your other brother, and Binyamin. So we mentioned, why does he refer to Shimon as your other brother? So again, we're going to have two approaches, Rashi and the Ramban. I want to start with the Ramban. The Ramban is a little bit more pshat based, and Rashi is going to be a little bit more esoteric. The Ramban says as follows. Nira al derech ha-pshat. You can only say this because the Ramban says this. It seems to me, says the Ramban, in the simple meaning of the text, ki lo hayo Shimon rotzoi aviv ba'avur dvar Shechem. Yaakov was still smarting from the incident of Shechem. When they made a deal with Shechem and his father, and that they were going to have a bris milah, and they were going to give them Dina to marry, and the two brothers, who were the two brothers that went and decimated the city? Shimon and Levi. It was Shimon and Levi. And Yaakov was very angry at them afterwards, and eventually he cursed their anger when he gives them the bracha to them, the parshas Vayechi. Says the Ramban, you know why he referred to him as Achichem Acher? Because he still was angry at him for the incident of Shechem, that he went ahead and annihilated the whole city. Ulekach lo omar es Shimon bini ve'es Binyamin. And therefore he didn't say, my son Shimon and my son Binyamin. Kilo Yizkerenu Bishmo. I didn't want to mention him by name. Says the Ramban, my proof, Vika Asher Ozvu b'Mitzrayim Yomim Rabim. It's been many days that they had left him already in Mitzrayim. Ilu Hoya Beveso Lechem. Had Yaakov still had enough food in his house? Lo Sholoch Adayin Es Binyamin Vayani Cheyo b'Mitzrayim. If Yaakov had food, he would not have sent Binyamin. And what would happen to Shimon? Mitzrayim. I couldn't say this, right? On my own, if I would have said this, right? If I would have said this, you would have thrown lemons at me. Says the Ramban, the remez, the hint. How does the Ramban know this? Because look at what he calls him. He says to the brothers, he's davening to Hashem that they should be returned safely, and he says, "I'm sending you my son Binyamin. Take care of him and bring back that other brother of yours."
Your brother, not my son.
Right?
Your brother.
Right? That's what Ramban says. Right? He doesn't say, my son Shimon. He says, your other brother. Says the Ramban, Al Derech HaPshat, in the most simple meaning of the text, Yaakov is angry at Shimon for the incident of Shechem. He's angry for annihilating the entire city, which he clearly felt was inappropriate. And had it not been that they were out of food, and that they were going to starve, he would never have let Binyamin go back. Shimon's there waiting for Binyamin. If I have food to eat, I'm not sending my Binyamin down there. Shimon, what do you want me to do? I'm not sending Binyamin. We don't have any food. All right, I'll send Binyamin. Go bring your other brother back. That's Ramban al derech hapshat as to the way that he understands Yosef, Yaakov's response to Shimon's act, which clearly Yaakov felt was inappropriate. That's al derech hapshat. Chazal, of course, peel away layer after layer. Let's get, I think we'll find at least three layers in this one phrase. As achichem achem, bring back your brother. So on the first level, the most simple level of pshat, why is Shimon referred to as achichem acher? Because Yaakov is angry at Shimon, and therefore he doesn't address him as my son Shimon, he addresses him as your other brother. Next layer of pshat. Let's peel away another level. Another layer. Says Rashi, achichem acher. I am the bottom line, if you want to look at it inside in Rashi, the bottom line of the second column, acher, ruach hakoy. Let's es achichem, your brother, Zeshimon. Rashi's going to say we're going to actually put a comma in here. So the simple way of reading the Torah would be it's two phrases here. Es achichem acher, that's phrase number one. The es binyamin, that's phrase number two. So it's, you know, the word other, I guess in grammar, is the word other a noun? Is it itself, or is it modifying the word brother? Am I losing anyone's right? What's the simple meaning of the phrase? It's, there are two nouns here. There's brother and Binyamin. And what is the word other doing? It's defining the word brother. Your other brother and Binyamin. There are two nouns that are taking place here. Says Rashi, look at the last line of Rashi. Achichem, the word brother, that's a reference to Shimon. Acher, the word other, Ruach HaKodesh Nizrukubo. When Yaakov was speaking, he was actually invested with an element of divine inspiration. Lirbos Yosef. He was actually referring in his tefillah to Yosef. Yaakov is giving a prayer. He's davening to Hashem. Return. Again, what's the simple meaning of his tefillah? Bring my boys back safely. Who does he daven for? Achichem Acher, your other brother, and Binyamin. Pshat level, simple level. Who's Achichem Acher? Shimon, why does he refer to him as your other brother? He's angry at him. Says Rashi, peeling off another layer. No. Within the words of the tzaddikim are embedded many different levels. Yaakov has a level of Ruach HaKodesh. Who's he davening for? Achichem, Shimon. Acher, Yosef. V'es Binyamin. Bring them all back safely. Bring all my boys back safely. There's an element of Ruach HaKodesh within Yaakov's words that his tefillah should go on Yaakov as well. When the Ramban quotes this Rashi, he adds the phrase as follows, V'nachon hu. I like Rashi's pshat, that inherent within this phrase is a reference to Yosef as well. Ki nosan daito ve'es ha-tefillah. He put his mind, as he davened, his pawel stam. He didn't want to limit his tefillah and say, I'm only davening for Shimon and Binyamin. He wanted it to be stam. He wanted it to be a little bit more vague, a little bit more open. Gamal ha'acher, that it should technically fit, also my words should fit Yosef. Ulai odenu chai. Maybe, Yosef, Yaakov is sitting through years, almost 20 years at this point, probably he's already 20 years, of mourning for his son as intensely as the day of the death itself, which he had to have known was a little bit strange, but it was clearly intense, and the hope that he's still alive, so when he offered up his tefillah, he offered it stam. I don't want to limit it that I'm only davening specifically for Shimon and Binyamin. If he would have said Shimon, then it would have been a limited tefillah. Then it's a prayer for the safe return of my boy Shimon and my boy Binyamin. I don't do that. So how do I refer to Shimon? Achichem Acher. I refer to him as your other brother, which allows for another interpretation. I'm actually davening for Achichem Shimon, Acher Yosef, and Binyamin should all return safely. And the limud, the lesson there is, sometimes when we daven, you need to daven stam. You need to daven where it's open. Let Hashem take your tefillah and interpret it the way it needs to be interpreted. Sometimes, you know, we do a little bit too much. We think we really know what's best, and if we sometimes limit it too much, so then sometimes that's not. In other words, a person, not because you're here, but a person daven for a shidduch. So in yeshivas, they always tell us, you don't daven for that this girl should work out. When we were in yeshiva, the guy was dating. Don't daven that this girl should work out. How do you know that this is the one that you want to work out? You need to be daven, even if like the day before you get engaged, and you're davening on your trip down, we were in Baltimore at the time, and you're driving to New York, you daven my bashert should work out, my shidduch should work out. Let it, you know, let Hashem take care of what he needs to take care of. You need to daven that. But you want to pinpoint that because, you know, who knows if that's the best thing for you. So we daven that the best thing for me should happen. That's what we daven for. Let the best thing happen for me. What I need to happen, however it should be. So Yaakov here, daven stam, achichem acher, so that it should be. That's the second level. There's going to be a third level to this pasuk, but I want to put that on hold. Let's get through the whole shot, and I hope we'll get back to it. So again, so achichem acher, simple level, the Ramban says, Shimon, why does he call him your other brother? He's angry at him. Second level, says Rashi, why does he call him achichem acher? Because it's really a level of divine inspiration snuck in, and it's actually a reference to two other people. Achichem Shimon, acher is actually Yosef, and he's being mispalel. He's also davening for the safe return of Yosef. Okay, next.
He's probably been doing that every day for 20 years.
Certainly possible. I mean, I would imagine so. Okay. There's way too much here. I'm sorry. Kasher shacholti. Last thing said, as I am bereaved, I am bereaved. What does that phrase mean? What did Yaakov mean when he said, "For I am as I am bereaved, I am bereaved"? So Rashi says, simple meaning is, top of the line on page 242, first line, first column, Vani. As for me, ad shuvchem ehaye shikol misafek. Until you return, I will be bereaved out of doubt, out of not knowing what's going on. I've already lost. Yosef is who knows where. Shimon is in Mitzrayim, and now Binyamin is on the way. I don't know where he is. I've sent him. I'm waiting for his return. Until he returns, I will be bereaved out of doubt of knowing what's happened. Ka'asher shacholti, in the way that I've been bereaved, me Yosef umi Shimon. So in the same way that I'm bereaved from Yosef, for sure, he's gone. For Shimon, he's been gone for who knows how long. I will be bereaved in the same way out of doubt for my Binyamin, even though I don't know that anything has happened to him. So the way Rashi interprets this phrase, I will be just as bereaved out of doubt of knowing what's going on with my Binyamin as I am bereaved for sure from my Ben Yosef and Shimon. That's how Rashi reads that phrase. Kasher shakolti shakolti. It's clearly not part of the tefillah. It's not part of the prayer. The prayer is over. Return them safely. And as for me, I'm just telling you, my boys, Yaakov says to them, I am just as bereaved. And so I'm not sure what to do with this. Like, why does he want them to know that? But it sounds like he's saying to them, I'm sending him with a heavy heart. I'm sending him because we have no food, and we need to do this, but I will be just as bereaved during the entire time you're gone out of doubt of knowing what's happening with Binyamin as I am bereaved for sure from my sons who are already gone from me, Binyamin and Yosef, and Shimon. Which is an interesting insight just in the fact that he's saying sometimes that doubt, the not knowing what's going on, I will be just as bereaved from that. And nothing's happened to me. But just not knowing is going to be just as bad for me as it's been for my Yosef and my Shimon. That's how Rashi reads this phrase. The Ramban has a different take on this phrase. Kasher shacholti shacholti, as I am bereaved, I am bereaved. He interprets it entirely different. According to Rashi, it's like a statement of now, it's not totally different, but Rashi learns it as saying, as I just want you to know I will be just as bereaved even in the doubt of knowing what's going on. I'm going to be that bereaved. The Ramban says it a little bit different. The Ramban says, lo tuchlo lo hosif alai shikol. It's almost it's a total resignation. It is different. Total resignation. You know what? I'm sending you. You can't even add to my pain. Lo tuchlo lahosif alai. You can't add to my bereavement. Kifar shacholti. I'm already so bereaved from my loss of my Yosef and from the loss of Shim. Take him. Take him. You should just know that you can't even add to the pain and suffering that I'm already experiencing. It's already so bad. Therefore, yisnache mikol habo ala v'yisron ke'evo al Yosef. He's already yisnach from all that has come upon him from the pain of Yosef. Kasher, like Esther says, kasher ovadati ovadati. I'm already so lost. So like, what's going to happen? Who cares? I'm lost. I'm destroyed. So what risk do I have in going into Achashverosh? Maybe he'll kill me. I'm as good as dead anyway. So kasher shacholti shacholti. The Ramban says, I'm already so bereaved from the loss of Yosef, 22 years of mourning as intensely as the day of death, I have nothing left to give, no pain left to experience.
The Ramban would understand that.
I'm sorry?
The Ramban would understand that.
You mean personally?
Mm-hmm.
From the pain that he had in his life. Okay, that is pshat in the pasuk. So we raised four issues in the pasuk as to just how to understand what Yaakov is saying, and those issues are addressing that as follows. There are two more global issues that I'll see if we can at least get to one. Let's start with the Ramban. I think is more Hanukkah related of the two. The Ramban peels away a third level on this pasuk, on this phrase of davening for Achichem Acher. He quotes from the Medrash. The Ramban writes as follows. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Posar Kiryo Begolios. This tefillah, this prayer that Yaakov offers to his brothers as they're about to embark on this journey with Binyamin in the hopes of getting Shimon and food back, is really a reference to the exiles that the Jewish people are going to suffer throughout our history. And the Medrash rereads the pasuk, V'kel Shaddai, Hashem's name, Yitein Lachem Rachamim, shall grant you mercy, Lefnei Ha'ish, shall grant you mercy before the Ish. Who is the Ish being a reference to? Yosef. The Medrash says, pointing out what Ron pointed out, when the Chumash uses vague phrases, it's always because, as we just saw from this example of Achichem Acher, it opens interpretation, allows for other things to go on. Where else? Who else is referred to as Ha'ish? I'll give you a hint, it comes from the Oz Yashir. Hashem Ish Milchama. You say Hashem is a man of war. Who do we refer to as Ish? Hashem himself. Kel Shakai. Yaakov Davins, to an attribute of Hashem, Yitein Rachamim Lefnei Ha'ish, grant mercy before person. Who? Before Hashem. Grant mercy before Hashem, V'yitein Osam L'Rachamim, that he should have mercy on you, V'yishlach Lochem, and he shall release you, Es Acheichem. Acheichem says the Medrash, remember that we have the the different ways of breaking out how many nouns are in that phrase. Es achichem acher ve'es binyamin, right? The simple meaning is it's two nouns. Achichem acher, your other brother, binyamin. Rashi gave us a level of achichem, Shimon, acher, Yosef, binyamin. Says the Medrash, achichem, the phrase your brothers, elu ashvatim. That's a reference to the 10 tribes that have been exiled and lost from the Jewish people. Acher ve'es binyamin. Ze Yehuda u'binyamin. Who are the two tribes that remained? Yehud and Binyamin. So that the word Acher is now going to be in the Medrash approach to this pasuk as a reference to Yehuda ve'es Binyamin. So the phrase Es Achichem Es Acher Es Achichem Acher Es Binyamin is Achichem, the 10 tribes, Acher, Yehuda, Es Binyamin, and Binyamin, the two remaining tribes, bring them Va'ani, and as for me, Ka'asher shacholti, as I've been bereaved, this is now a reference to Hashem, as I've been bereaved, b'chorban rishon, as I've been bereaved from the first destruction, shacholti, I have been bereaved from the second chorban, v'lo es shakel od, but that's it. Ka'asher shacholti, shacholti, but no longer. As I've been bereaved once, I've been bereaved a second time, but no more. So that this is a prayer, the Ramban says, when Yaakov, he speaks this out at much greater length, in the beginning of Parshas Vayechi, that Yaakov and the brothers going down to Mitzrayim is a reference to the fourth exile. There are four exiles that the sages describe the Jewish people will experience. The fourth is the exile of Edom, of Rome. And the hint to that exile is from this particular incident of the Chumash, where Yaakov goes down with his brothers. This tefillah is the tefillah, as the Ramban said earlier, sometimes Yaakov davens stam. He davens without specifying clearly what he's davening for, so that it should be applicable for more than one thing. This is actually the tefillah for the redemption of the exile that we are in right now. Ramban writes, this tefillah is that tefillah. Fekel Shakai, which is a reference of Shaddai, enough, is an attribute of justice. Says Ramban, this is his Kabbalist. I'm just going to say the words, I very little understand it. Because when the way the Medrash reads it, it's as if Yaakov is speaking to two different names of Hashem. He says, Vekel Shaddai should give Rachamim before the Ish. Well, the Ish is the name of Hashem also. Says Ramban, attribute of justice, Sha'omer La'olam Dai, who says to his world, enough. When you have that attribute, that's an attribute of strictness and exactness. That says, up to here, stop. Up to there, there's no mercy in that. That's by the letter of the law. That's rules and regulations. Says the Ramban, reading from the Medrash, interpreting Yaakov's tefillah. Yaakov says to the name of Hashem, the attribute of Kel Shaddai, the one who says enough. Yitein rachamim lifnei ha'ish, give mercy before the ish. Hashem ish milchama, give rachamim before the name of Hashem of rachamim. V'yishlach lachem, that he should release from you es achichem, the 10 tribes. Acher, Yehuda, and Binyamin, because Kasher, Shakolti, as I've been bereaved once already, Shakolti, I've been bereaved twice, but no more. Return the exiles to the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's been enough, we've been bereaved twice. Give Rachamim before your attribute of justice, that we shall be able to return the 10 tribes and the other two that we still are familiar with, and we shall be able to return to Eretz Yisrael. That is, says the Ramban, a sod gadol, a large secret. So I'm revealed as much as I'm allowed to reveal, because that's all that I understand. But in any case, that's a third level. When you peel away the language of the pasuk, the godless of the depth, the infinite depth of the Torah, and this phrase that Yaakov says, just what we've done, we're just learning Rashi and Ramban, I'm not even going any further than that. There are three layers that they peel away as to what's the meaning of this tefillah. The most simple meaning, he's davening for his sons, and it's a reference to Shimon, and so Binyamin. And then Rashi pulls away to Ruach HaKodesh, it's a reference to Yosef, Shimon, and Binyamin. And the Medrash that says, Yaakov is davening for all of generations right now. He's not davening for his sons to be returned safely. You know what Yaakov's davening for? He's davening for his sons, for all future generations stuck in a 2,000-year exile. He's davening for them, Hashem, Kel Shaddai, attribute of justice. Give rachamim before your other attributes. Place mercy before them and bring back achichem, the 12 tribes, because kasher shakolti shakolti. Not as for me, referring to Yaakov, referring to Hashem, as you've been bereaved once, you've been bereaved twice. Enough. Bring us back. And this is the tefillah that stands for all of generations. This pasuk is the tefillah that we... So when you read this pasuk, when you learn this pasuk, when you hear this pasuk, the Chazal understand in this pasuk Yaakov's davening for us. He's davening for us in the same way as the hidden language of Acher was really a tefillah of the hopefulness of his son Yosef still being alive. And the word Acher, maybe it's a reference to him. This is a reference to all the Jewish people throughout our exiles, that we should be returned safely. Return us home. Yishlach lachem es achichem Acher v'es Binyamin is a reference to the Jewish people, the 12 tribes in exile. Amen.